Turn with me again to the book of Revelation, chapter 15. This is the third part of our Sunday series on the Lamb. The first was the book of the Lamb. The second was the bride of the Lamb last week. And this third, on Palm Sunday, we will speak on the song of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, John said, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints or nations. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.'" Amen. The history of God's people in both Testaments and in both the nation of Israel and in the church is one that is rich with song and music. The Lord God asked Job if he was there at creation when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. After the crossing of the Red Sea and their miraculous exodus out of Egypt, Moses and the children of Israel sang this song, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." In their wilderness wanderings, when the need for water was great, then Israel sang this song, says the Bible, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it, and the water would flow." Judges chapter 5 is called the Song of Deborah, which she and Barak led the people of Israel to sing following the great defeat of the mighty Sisera and his army. When King Saul and his army, along with young David, returned from battle with the Philistines, where David killed Goliath, the women gathered in the streets and sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. In 2 Chronicles 29, as soon as the 25-year-old Hezekiah began to reign over Judah, his first act as king was to restore the abandoned and desecrated temple of Solomon. And when the temple was restored and ready for worship, the first thing he did after offering the sacrifice was to bring in the choir and the musicians, and they sang and worshiped the Lord. After 70 years of Babylonian captivity, a relatively small remnant of Jews, 42,360, as a matter of fact, made their way back to Jerusalem, where they would begin to restore once again the temple. And Ezra chapter 3 says, "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David. And they sang and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures toward Israel.' Then all the people shouted with a great shout, and when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." Before the birth of Jesus, unwed Mary, pregnant with the promise of God, sang, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And at the birth of Jesus, a multitude of angels sang over the fields of Bethlehem, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." At the triumphal entry of Jesus on the back of the colt that we celebrate on Palm Sunday today, the crowd sang, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus and his disciples sang hymns at the Last Supper before going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul and Silas sang at midnight in the jail cell in Philippi, their backs bleeding from the beating they had received. The Bible says, and all the prisoners heard them singing. And today in our text in Revelation 15, we come to the grand climax of all those songs throughout biblical history, including the book of Psalms, which is a book of songs. But here today we see the song of the Lamb, the song which celebrates the fall of the kingdoms of this world and the triumph of the kingdom of Christ. This beautiful passage of Scripture depicting John's vision of heaven and the last days. John had just seen a figure like the Son of Man with a sickle in his hand, and an angel said to him who had the sickle, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." Here the church is referred to as the harvest, and the taking away from the earth as reaping. But then John sees another angel with a sickle in his hand, and it was said to him, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And so the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. That is 184 miles. Here is another reference to that great and future battle of Armageddon, which we see again in chapter 16. And let me point out here that the book of Revelation cannot be assumed to be written in direct chronological order. It begins with the Apostle John stating the fact that he is on the island of Patmos, a rocky prison island where criminals were sent to serve time. But John was sent there for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was there that he received this great vision of the Lord and the end times, some of which coincide with the prophets Daniel, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. In his multi-part vision, John first sees the state of seven churches in those days, which are called out in chapters 2 and 3, which are prophetic of issues of the church in the last days. Then his vision goes almost strictly to heaven. Christ as the Lamb slain, Christ as the one seated on the throne, and end time events on earth concerning the church and the world, which are sometimes in Revelation repeated in various symbolic descriptions. It is a fascinating book, but it helps to understand that it is written largely in dramatic symbolism, yet in divine truth. John saw things he couldn't possibly understand at the time. But the book of Revelation ends where eternity begins, with heaven and hell, the saved and the lost. And two of the final four verses of the Bible warn against adding to or taking away or even dismissing from the words of this prophecy. And so in chapter 15, John sees this great and marvelous sign in heaven. He sees these seven angels ready to pour out the last seven plagues of the wrath of God upon the earth. And then he sees what appears to him as a sea of glass mingled with fire. A great and marvelous sight, to be sure. And he sees a multitude of people, those who had won the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, which John tells us in chapter 13 is 666. And having not given in to the Antichrist or taken his mark, they are standing on this sea of fiery glass with the harps of God in their hands, and they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested." And there at the end of verse 4 of John's vision, this great song is paused for a time as he sees the seven angels with the seven vials of the wrath of God. And he sees the vials poured out, and he sees the armies of the world and the Antichrist gathering for the battle of Armageddon. And he sees the harlot church, religious Babylon, in the last days, and her alliance with the Antichrist and false prophet against the Lamb and His bride. But after the visions of chapters 16, 17, and 18, John's vision goes back to the multitude and the song of the Lamb. He said, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Amen. The song of the Lamb is not, of course, a song the Lamb sings, but rather it is the song of the redeemed, a song of wonder and rejoicing over the victory of the church, the bride, amen, that the bride had won by the blood of the Lamb. It is a song that will last forever, a song that will not become outdated in eternity. Amen. We sing now, and what a great job they have done again today in leading us in singing and praise and worship. Amen. So we sing songs, some of which were written out of great trial, such as that great hymn by G.T. Haywood, who, going through a deep trial, locked himself away for several days, and when he came out, he had written, on Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin's demands were paid, and rays of hope for tomorrow across our path were laid. And then you go into the chorus, I see a crimson stream of blood, it flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. When gloom and sadness whisper, you've sinned, no use to pray, I look away to Jesus, and He tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Amen. And we sing songs, many of which were not written out of great trial, but out of great talent. Nevertheless, we sing. And no matter the source of the song, whether it come out of great trial or simply great talent, we sing from a heart and soul filled. Amen. When we sing from our heart, when we sing from a soul filled with praise and adoration for what the Lord has done for us and in us, when we worship from a sense of deep gratitude and desire, we sing our song of the Lamb. Unlike some of the songs that are sung in churches today, this song of the Lamb in the book of Revelation is theologically sound. It isn't filled with abstract phrases and silly cliches. Amen. It isn't about what I'm going to do or about what you're going to do. And it's got nothing to do with stomping on the devil or dancing on the grave of my enemy. And that's all well and good if you're into that. I'm not knocking that. Amen. But the song of the Lamb is pure and sincere, simply praise and worship. Because when it comes to standing against the turning tide of technology and refusing to accept the status quo, refusing to accept a simple mark or number that will make it easier for everyone to buy and sell, they'll say, pure and sincere praise and worship will be the only thing that matters as you stand victorious before the throne on that fiery sea of glass and sing the song of the Lamb who brought you through tribulation and delivered you from or in the circumstances of not taking that mark and number of the man whom the Bible calls the Antichrist. Amen. He will be the most charismatic messianic figure the world has ever seen. He will win hearts, the hearts of nations and religions. He will have all the answers. He will be exalted as the leader of the world needs. John tells us in Revelation 13 that the world will worship him. And they will say, who is like him? And who can make war with him? John says he will speak great things. And you can be sure that just as easily as we have accepted as cultural norms, things which were once taboo, things that were once unspoken of, much less accepted, there will be many, dare I say most of this world, who will accept his image, his mark, and the number of his name. Amen. But shortly after he gains power and influence over leaders of nations, John says he will begin to blaspheme God and his name. And then he says it was granted to him to make war with the saints, that's the church, and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. He calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, he says. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. What happens to those who accept his mark and his number? He said, John says, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. For those who refuse them, no one promises it will be easy. John said, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. These are those whom John saw a few verses later in our text when he said, and I saw that sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, amen, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. And I saw them standing on that sea of fiery glass having the harps of God, and they sang the song of the Lamb. Amen. These are the ones who will overcome. He said they will sing, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. Amen. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Amen. But that's not the first time John saw them. He saw them in chapter 7. He said, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, or literally singing, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And he said, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And they sing the song of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. There's a lot of singing in the book of Revelation. Amen. And might I say, there's a lot of loudness in the book of Revelation. When you get time, look up how many times the word loud is in Revelation. And next time somebody says it's too loud at your church, just say, well, we're the church of Revelation. Amen. But there's a lot of singing in Revelation, which means there will be a lot of singing in heaven. And so if you don't like singing and praising and worshiping and song, you probably won't like heaven. Amen? But then again, if you don't worship, you probably won't even go to heaven. So that's... Amen. But that's just Bible. I'm not... It's not my opinion. It's just Bible. Amen? So first we see the seraphim singing. Those six-winged creatures that Isaiah saw, they rest not day and night crying, singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Then we see the 24 elders fall to their knees and cast their crowns before the throne and sing, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And then they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And then a million angels join in and sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And John said, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard singing, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. And then in chapter 14, there's a new song. In chapter 15, there's the song of our text. In chapter 19, there's the song of the bride. And all this singing and all these songs in heaven have one thing in common, and that is pure and sincere worship. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It's not theologically questionable stuff. It's not silly stuff. It's pure and sincere worship. Oh, hallelujah. And if that's what's going on in heaven, that ought to be what's going on in the church. If that's what's going on in heaven, it ought to be what's going on in our hearts and our minds and from our mouths. It's about nothing else but praise and worship unto the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. And if it's pure worship there, it will only be pure worship that gets us there. Worship of self won't do it. Worship of worldliness won't do it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not welcome there. Only pure and sincere worship that flows from the loving, from loving the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The worship of the song of the Lamb is directed primarily toward three things. First, his works. They sang, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Secondly, his ways. Just and true are your ways, King of Saints. And third, his holiness. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. Those three things alone should be the basis of all worship. For in those three things, his works, his ways, and his holiness, are everything that makes it possible for anything we need. Redemption, salvation, remission of sins, his spirit in us, his healing for our bodies, his healing for our minds, his healing for our souls, his love, his mercy, his grace, amen. His goodness, His patience, His long-suffering with us, His provision for our needs, His guidance for our lives, His peace, His strength, His deliverance from our bondage of addictions, amen. His righteousness in us, anything and everything we need in this life and for the life to come are found in those three things: His works, His ways, and His holiness, amen. We cannot be saved without His works. We cannot stay saved without His ways. And we cannot see heaven without His holiness. Somebody shout yes. And so the song of the Lamb worship has nothing to do with the beat of the music, but has everything to do with His works, His ways, and His holiness. And that makes Him worthy of the song. Amen. Worthy of your song. Worthy of my song. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever the words are of your song or mine, He's worthy of it. As long as it is pure and sincere praise and worship, He's worthy of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. John saw the future of the church. The redeemed, saved, born-again believers who will not accept the system of this world and the Antichrist, standing on that sea of fiery glass, singing the song of the Lamb. But if I don't have a song here, I won't have a song there. Amen. If I don't have a song here, if I can't worship here, I won't have a song there. Amen. Oh, I pray today, God help us. God help us to get past the clapping of the hands with our minds somewhere else. The singing of lyrics with our minds far away and our hearts on something outside. No, no, no. I say, God help us. Amen. To praise and to worship with a song that flows from our heart. With a song that flows from the soul. With a song that flows, amen, from our love for God. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand this morning just as a book will take you to places you've never visited and introduce you to people you've never met. A song will take you away, at least momentarily, from your current circumstances to some distant past. Like when you first believed and first repented and you were first baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost or your first encounter with God, a song will take you back to that. A song will take you to some distant future, like seeing yourself on that sea of glass standing before the throne. Amen. Or at least a song of praise and worship will take you to some present place besides the reality of the one you're in. A place of faith and trust and hope in God. Amen. A song is generally short as far as the number of words in the lyrics. The average song could be read without the music and without repeating the chorus and other lines of song. The average song could be read in less than 2 minutes. Oftentimes, some of those lyrics can make little sense. But the industry of song and music is a multi-billion dollar industry. That's how powerful song and music is. So if anyone should have a song, it's the people of God. If anyone should have a song, amen. Oh, hallelujah. It's those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If anyone should have a song of the Lamb, it's those whose sins have been forgiven. Amen. It's those who can look back and say, I know where God has brought me from. I know what He's done for me. I know where I was. I know where I ought to be today. But I know what God has done. So there's a song in my heart. There's a song in my soul. A song in my mind and in my spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I may not be able to sing like they sing, but that doesn't matter. It's not about the talent. It's about the truth. It's about what God has done in your heart, in your soul, in your life. If anybody should have a song, it's you and me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, if we ever intend to stand before Jesus Christ and sing the song of the Lamb, there are some of us, I believe, there are some of us here who will have to accept or reject the number, the mark, the name, the world system of the Antichrist. Amen? I don't know when that's coming, but you and I both know that technology is passing, is rolling at the speed of sound and light. Amen? So, yeah, some of us will be gone before then, but some of us will have to stand against that. And so if we ever intend to stand before Jesus Christ and sing the song of the Lamb, having either rejected all of what's coming or rejecting what's now in this world, its worldliness and all of that that comes with it. Amen. The iniquity of the culture of that the world pushes. We had better get a song now. Amen. We had better get a song now. The songs sung in heaven are the songs of a redeemed, washed people. Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name. World rejecting, holiness pursuing, worshiping people. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands and give Him praise and thanks today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, we lift You up, Lord. We lift You up. We lift You up, Jesus. I pray today, God, give us a song. God, give us a song, give us a song, give us a song that flows from deep within. God, give us a song that flows from our love for You and our knowledge and understanding of where You have brought us from and where we're going. Let it be pure and sincere praise and worship. Let it be the song of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your voices and let's give Him praise. I invite you to come and let's stand before this front. Let's come and stand. Let's sing our song of the Lamb. If you want to stand before the throne someday and sing, I want us to come as a church and sing. I want us to come together and let's sing. And let's let the Holy Ghost flow, and let's let the Spirit of God move in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul and spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost begin to flow. Let healing begin to flow in this place. Let God move. Let God speak. Let God do what He wants to do in our lives today. And let's pray, God, no matter what comes, help me to stand against the world. Help me to stand against the culture that the world is pushing. Help me to stand against that day. Help me to stand against the Antichrist and all that's coming upon this world. God, give us strength and let us overcome in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Let's come. Let's praise. Let's worship. Let's sing the song of the Lamb.